Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. Is the chairman and president of Novo Resources. He's been a guest on this show a number of times and has through some very interesting market gyrations, for sure. We've seen what I think is one of the most exciting and unusual, certainly one of the most unusual, potentially one of the most exciting and profound new discoveries among gold exploration companies in quite a few years. Novo Resources trades in Toronto and in the United States as well. There are 158 million shares outstanding, I believe. That's correct. $3.89 earlier today, I noticed, in the U.S., giving it a market cap of around $614 million. Thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning.
Sure thing, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Always great to talk to you, and it's nice to know you're on our continent now and taking a little bit of a breather. I know you work extremely hard. And so I'm really glad that you could take a few minutes to talk to us today. The market has really treated Novo, I would say, very kindly. It has a $614 million market cap in U.S. dollars, and yet, except for a relatively small resource at Beaton's Creek, which isn't your primary focus now, it's giving you quite a market cap. What do you think? Why do you think the market is treating your shares so kindly? Given the lack of progress, as I say, I don't say it's a lack of progress, but given where you're at in terms of establishing a viable commercial deposit.
Sure thing, Jay. Look, I think people who followed our story know we're chasing what you know would be considered the big price. So we're looking for an analog, a sedimentary basin to the sedimentary basin in South Africa, and we're exploring the Pilbara Craton, which is a similarly old piece of crust, similar geology, and it's that geology that's led us to the Pilbara to look for what could potentially be a very, very large gold system. You know, why do people treat us nice? Well, I don't know. You know, I'd love to think it was my good looks or something, but I don't think that's the case. Okay. So, you know, we'll scratch that one off the list. I think people who have an investment in us realize that, you know, we are on to something seemingly quite large. You know, there's no doubt that when you see gold nuggets emerging from a conglomerate horizon or multiple conglomerate horizons, over a strike length of around 8 kilometers. And, you know, when you see that, you got to step back and think, you know, this could be a very, very large system. We're basically on the edge, as I've said in many news releases, we're on the edge of a very, very large basin that was deposited way back in the Archean time, around 2.7 to 2.9 billion years ago. And that's that special time window when this type of gold deposit formed. Our deposit is quite a bit different than the deposits in South Africa and the Witwatersrand. We have very coarse gold. We've talked about that extensively in news releases over the past few months. You know, and the conglomerates are a bit different. They're coarse bouldery conglomerates rather than pebble conglomerates like you'd see in South Africa. But, you know, beyond that, if you look at the spectrum of gold deposits out there, these paleoplacer or, you know, paleoalluvial deposits can be quite large. Okay, so I think people appreciate that, and they see us as, a ticket, you know, basically to get exposure to that potentially very, very large system. You know, I think the other thing, though, that we've done here at Novo, we try to be very clear with people about the challenges that we faced, this actual progress that we've made, or, you know, and at times it seems like a lack of progress, but that we try to be very forthright with people about where we stand and where things are headed. So I think that gives people comfort that, that we are doing the best job we can with this very, very unusual style of mineralization.
Yeah, I mean, there is some frustration on the part of people that want to see the answers right away, and this, of course, is inherent in our industry, in this industry as a whole. Yours is probably more difficult than most because of the unusual nature and the difficulty statistically of sampling the deposit and so forth. One investor expressed disappointment. He wrote to me, he said, first it was mid-April to now it's late May. And where are Purdy's reward sample results? Are we waiting for some results, some assays from Purdy's Reward yet?
Look, we do have some Purdy's Reward samples in the queue, along with our Comet well samples. Getting the test plant up to speed has been a challenge. We thought it was easy based on what we were being told around the prior use of the plant and so forth. But what we're finding is that the rock we have is quite a bit harder than was anticipated. That's caused some challenges in the crushing end of the circuit, which is on the front end. We've also had some experience screening the material, putting it through the sieves and stuff. It's been quite slow. Just little bugaboos like this that we've had to work through. And, I'm not going to pretend that, it's caused us a lot of angst or myself. Watching our technical team work with SGS. But I can tell you that everybody is doing as good a job as they can, and I think that they've pulled it around, and they're pulling it around. All right, so SGS, they've dedicated a large portion of their yard down in Perth to treating our samples, and if anything, we've kind of overwhelmed the poor guys at the lab there. We've sent in somewhere around 20 bulk samples at this time, and they're literally stacked, stacked up in their yard. But that said, the guys are doing a good job. I was down there a couple of weeks ago watching the new crushing process and so forth. And, we put out the news release last week to show people that, indeed, the samples are generating considerable gold nuggets as anticipated. So we're quite hopeful that the first batch of assays we deliver sometime in late May will give the market an assurance that there's these things have considerable gold in them, but it'll also give people an assurance that we can treat these as planned in this test plant. A lot of people, they express their frustrations, like the gentleman you just read his comment. Believe me, inside of the company, we face the same frustrations. As soon as a problem happens, like, oh my gosh, but we are making our way through, and we've got very smart people working behind the scenes.
You certainly have smart people, which has been made possible by a large investment from Kirkland Lake. How are you stacked for money right now, and how far will it take you?
Yeah, sure, Jay. Funny enough, I think the last time we talked, we were at about $70 million in the bank. We're still at about $70 million. What we're seeing is a fairly steady stream of warrant exercises. There's about, I think, maybe $17 or $18 million left in warrant monies that are, say, well within the money, up to $1.25 or thereabouts. And as that money comes in, it replaces our treasury. So we have plenty of money, which is good. I've said over and over how that placement from Kirkland last year really put us on the right track to tackle this project. If we had to go out and done a conventional financing of some sort, I think the story would be much different right now.
No doubt about it, and it doesn't hurt at all that Kirkland is one of the most outstanding up-and-coming, really successful. I saw some good news again today, the press release today or yesterday. I mean, it's just an outstanding company, and to have someone like that putting a lot of money into your company certainly does lend credibility to your theories and what you've been able to accomplish so far.
I would agree. I will tell you that Kirkland is they're smart people. They have very good properties. The Fosterville property, I would say, first and foremost, is going to deliver. I think today, for example, they put out news around finding some more high grade in a new shoot. Look. Mm-hmm. They have good assets. They're smart people. They're aggressive. They know where to spend their money, and they put a bet on us, and we've enjoyed working with them.
So. All right. I have to ask you to comment on your April 25th press release in which you revealed that you found, I think, a large number, maybe it was 80, if I've got that right, if memory serves me correctly, nuggets that were found in the bulk samples that you have that you are now processing. What can you tell us that you've learned so far? And those were taken at Comet Well, which is I think you have an 80% position in that project. Have you learned so far from that? And maybe you can comment on how it differs, if it does indeed differ, with what you've learned at Purdy's Reward.
Sure. I guess as a follow-on to the gentleman's comment earlier, we have moved the Commonwealth samples up in our priority. Given the lengthy time it's taken to get samples going through this test plant, we've shifted the Commonwealth samples up to CUBE. All right, so they're going through as top priority. And yes, we've seen quite a bit of gold come out. So we're quite pleased with that. We've tried to communicate that to the market. Look, in my view, the differences are these between Commonwealth and Purdy's Reward. At Commonwealth, we see a very thick section down at the base, maybe 3 or 4 meters thick, which appears to have nuggets scattered through it. That's very encouraging. It's not all confined down to the base. We see, considerable gold well above the base. You know, that sample that we talked about last week and showed the photos from, that's actually well above the base of the conglomerate. So I'm very, very optimistic. You know, that's why we put Commonwealth at a higher priority at this point.
Yeah. So the geometry or the payload, if you will, if it's larger, might bode well for the economics than if you just had a very narrow vein or very narrow section of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Now, we also see a second gold-bearing unit about 12, 15 meters above that basal unit. Uh-huh. And once again, there's quite a few nuggets in it. So it's very encouraging. That horizon, the one that's up at the top, might actually be the same horizon as the Purdy's Reward section, which is very interesting. That would indicate that we have two different systems at play. You know, some people comment that this is like a fluvial system. No, this is not. Definitely the gravels and whatnot were washed into this basin by a river system, but it's been reworked by the ocean at some point. You know, so this was a near shore environment, and we see the gold scattered, more or less laterally. So it's not just a channelized deposit from what we can see. Our core drilling is seeing the same units over and over again as we drill, hundreds and hundreds of meters away from the outcrops now.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting, the notion that it's people think it's a fluvial event here. But in fact, which leads me to a question, and we're just about out of time, but I'd like you to comment on it if you could. Concerning, you mentioned the 8 kilometers of strike length. Now, as I understand it, that would have been around the ancient shoreline. And you're really looking, I think what excited you and what you saw that most of the people that were discovering nuggets never thought of in Australia was that you have an ocean environment, a shallow sea environment in which down dip you're expecting it's not just a narrow area along the ancient sea seabed or the shoreline, but deeper into the sea. And that's something, when do you think you might start to explore and give us some information with regard to down dip, or down dip by any sort of distance?
Yes, that's a very good question. Look, getting the grade sorted out, these bulk samples, is our top priority. Okay, let me kind of give you a 30,000-foot view here. What we're trying to do right now is get some grade data out of bulk samples and also do core drilling to tell us what the subsurface geology is doing. The reason we have to do this is to get a mineralization report put together so that we can convert the exploration license to a mining license.
Uh-huh.
Whether we can do a 43-101, we're not certain yet. Okay, the data will dictate whether we can do that. But what we are trying to do right now is get our exploration license converted to a mining license so that we can potentially go test mining and stuff like this. The stuff you're talking about, testing for the gold way down into the basin, that's probably a long ways out. We can core drill and stuff, but we cannot get accurate grade data from that. Now, that said, Jay, this is very important. I think most people appreciate this. There are many companies that have talked about finding similar gold elsewhere in the Pilbara region. Okay, De Grey, Kairos, yada, yada, yada. There's a whole slew of them. And
yes,
they have found similar gold in the same conglomerate horizon in distances hundreds of kilometers away in some case. Marindi, for example, announced finding gold down in the Bellary Dome a few weeks ago. And place it's 250 kilometers south of Commonwealth. Now think about that a bit. It's in the same layer of rock, 250 kilometers south of us, and they found some interesting gold. Okay, when people say this is a one-off or fluke, no, I don't think so. This seems to be a regional gold system, and it seems to be poking its nose out in a number of places.
Okay, all right. With just a minute left, then what should people be watching? What are the drivers? How soon you're going to have in late May? You're expecting some assays, possibly, probably, hopefully, late May. That's from the bulk samples. What else? And can you, what should we be watching for through the summer and into the fall?
Sure. Look, the bulk samples first and foremost. That'll give us the first impression of how much gold we have in that lower Comet well sequence. Very, very important. We'll get some more assays out in really a steady stream of assays. Hopefully after this, every month or so, we'll be able to talk about more and more. We're going to open up many more trenches. We're going to put together a three-dimensional model of the drilling that we're doing right now. And by the end of the summer, say, maybe third quarter, we'll call it, of this year, we should have a fairly good picture of what we have at Comet Well and in the subsurface, all right? And that's the data that we're going to use to then file our mineralization report to get that that mining
license. All right, very good. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Quentin, thank you so much for being with us again. Always a pleasure keeping up with what you're doing there in this most unusual, most exciting project. Thank you very much, and hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Okay, Jay, thank you.